Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Is David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint here. All hour long open phones, 406-294-0970. That's Noble with a K. I'm an attorney here in Billings. You can find me online at LectureFan, L-C-T-R-F-A. And I did just get done with a conversation with Austin Knutson, Montana Attorney General. You want to find that on the Montana Talks podcast. We've got Bill Thomas and Clayton Trammell with us on the lines talking about upcoming Patriot Day celebration. Bill and Clayton, thanks for joining.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so tell us what's going on.
Well, I'll lead off, and then I think, and we can transition into Clayton, because what he has to say is really very interesting. But so I'm the co-founder of the 9/11 Honor and Serve Foundation, and I co-founded it with a good friend of mine out here in Big Fork, Montana, Doug Averill. And we are now entering our 10th year since we started the foundation, and so we hold a Patriot Day ceremony every Patriot Day, September 11th, and so this year we're hosting it at his farm in Big Fork, as a means of remembrance of those that we lost, also to, you know, pay tribute to the heroes that emerged on that day. But we also, in addition to September 11th, 2001, we remember September 11th, 2012, which was the attack in Benghazi, Libya. And although not really the loss of life wasn't the same, I mean, I think any loss of life, especially in a terrorist attack, is not good, but it was a terrorist attack nonetheless, and it was on the anniversary of 9/11. So we also remember that, and we have a very patriotic, very visual, a lot of moving parts ceremony that's free to the public, and so far we've been able to pull it off for 10 years.
That's great. And yeah, it is going to be in Big Fork, Montana at the Wrangler Springs Ranch, 6850 Montana Highway 35. Admission and parking free to the public. For more info, visit 9-11honorandserve.com. Go ahead, Clayton, did you have something to add to that?
Well, first, I'd just like to say thank you for having us on here. And I'd say on behalf of Mandatum Foundation, thank you to Bill for allowing us to participate with the 9/11 Honor and Serve. We're really excited to be partnered with them this year.
So what's your organization and what do you guys do and kind of go from there?
Yeah, so I sit as the chairman at the Mandatum Foundation, and we support retiring SEAL and EOD operators into their transition into the civilian sector. A lot of people don't realize that it's actually a pretty difficult position for people to go in. And my background is I served 20 years in the Navy as a SEAL. I did 9 deployments. Was able to get an NDA in the process, and still basically fell flat on my face in my transition out of the military. And a lot of times what we're finding is that when we go to find meaningful employment after the military, we are having a hard time because we are overqualified with leadership and project management and soft skills, but typically lack industry expertise as well as some of the hard skills you need on a resume.
We're up against the break. I'm going to throw you on hold here if you'll...
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're talking about the upcoming Patriot Day 10th annual remembrance of 9/11 from the 9/11 Honor and Serve Foundation and the Mandatum Foundation. Also taking phone calls, 406-294-0970. Clayton, sorry, kind of had to cut you off there. You were just talking about how some difficulties soldiers face coming home and kind of what you guys are doing about that and then your partnership here with the Patriot Day.
That's right. And some of the things that we do to help are providing education, executive coaching, networking, and we call them immersions, but, you know, put a soldier that's going to retire in a couple of years or sailor out with a company for a week just to try it on for size and see if that's a good role, industry, company size, etc. And you can find out more about us at themandatum.org.
Okay, sounds great. Going back to you, Bill Thomas, anything else to add about this upcoming Patriot Day remembrance of both 9/11/01 and 9/11/2012?
Every year we try to find another, we're a nonprofit, and we try to find another nonprofit charity that we can showcase at our event. And Mandatum was recommended to us by a good friend of mine, George, from Crossroads Christian Church out in Big Fork. And George said, "Hey, I've got this group. I think they'd be great for what your foundation is all about." And that's kind of how the two of us made the connection. So we showcase them. We want to get them out. We want their message out there. We want people to understand, like Clayton's saying, it's a very complex issue that I don't think people even know existed. I didn't know it existed in so many layers. And so we get them out there. We have, they come out. We give them a chance to speak and get their message out. And it's always really well received. So we're really excited to have them. I'm learning more with every conversation I have with them. I learn more about their group. So it's really fascinating. They're a very much needed organization. So they'll be out there, speaking at the event. And, like I said, it's free to the public. It's very, visually patriotic. It's just there's not a lot of places in the Flathead Valley if you want to remember Patriot Day. And we're passionate about it. We believe that the memories of both 9/11/2001 and 9/11/2012 should not be forgotten. We need to keep these in the forefront of people's conscience. And so we host this ceremony, and afterwards we host a food and drink social, and it's really nice to watch all the people that attended get together, meet new friends, talk about the day, why 9/11 was important to them. And then, we always ask if they would like to donate, then we'd love to have them, give to the our specific charity that we're sponsoring. So, it's going to be another good day. We're happy to be, like I said, we made it 10 years so far, so we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, September 11th, 2024, 5 p.m. in Big Fork, Montana at the Wrangler Springs Ranch, 6850 Montana Highway 35, Big Fork, Montana, this upcoming September 11th, 5 p.m. Clayton or Bill, I guess, anything else to add here before I let you go?
Clayton, you go ahead.
Just wanted to say thanks for doing this, Bill, and really appreciate you giving us some time on your platform to talk about this much-needed issue.
Yeah, no, you bet. We had Warriors in Quiet Waters on. Happy to support them and Mandatum Foundation and 9/11 Honor and Serve Foundation. Sounds like both you guys are doing great work. So thank you guys for what you're doing.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, and hopefully see your listening audience out there.
Well, thank you so much. I'm sure you will. I think a lot of folks that listen to this show will be interested in attending. I know, we got lots of listeners all across the state right now. Not everybody's going to be able to make it to Big Fork on September 11th, but certainly folks that are in the area, that would be a good thing to do. The Montana GOP chairman, Don Kay, was just on talking about how the Montana Senate race has now been changed from a toss-up to lean Republican because of this most recent poll from AARP showing Tim Sheehy up 8 points on John Tester, which I was so fantastic to see. And then what I noticed about that poll, though, was the women of Montana not voting Democrat at the same levels of women nationally. And so I wanted to give a shout-out to all the women out there, to all the Montana women out there. Shout out to the Montana women for not being as radical left-wing as women are nationally. It's the women of Montana that keep this state red, that keep our freedoms in place, because the women of Montana are not voting Democrat at the same levels as women nationally are. So huge shout out to the women of Montana. Thank you. Open phones for the rest of the show, 406-294-0970. You folks tell me what you guys want to talk about. I've got all sorts of stuff to talk about, but always like to hear from you folks first. Remember when Kamala Harris called for a pathway to citizenship to end the border crisis. I actually have a list. Actually, Chris Cillizza actually put out a list. Chris Cillizza, you know, hardcore Democrat, you know, former CNN reporter. Even he put out a list of all of the policy positions that Kamala Harris has reversed herself on. And this was one of them. But this is a Newsweek piece just from January of 2024. Just from January 2024. Kamala Harris calling for a pathway to citizenship for it. She says, there's no question our immigration system is broken, Kamala Harris said. And Tester agrees with this. And so much so that as the first bill we offered after our inauguration was to give citizenship to all the illegals. American citizenship, which entitles them to full Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Give that to 30, 40 million people. Yeah, let's see how our entitlement programs do after you add 40 million low-skilled, uneducated new citizens to the rolls.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. We're taking phone calls for the rest of the show. Totally open phone lines here, 406-294-0970. Anybody that calls in will get you right on right away. Interesting story here out of Committee to Unleash Prosperity this morning. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, folks, but there's a whole bunch of people playing Electoral College sort of games in terms of trying to game out what's going to happen in 2024 with the presidential election. Now, obviously, you have to get to 270 votes to win in the Electoral College. What's interesting is with all of the new Electoral College numbers for each state as a result of the 2020 census, this is a completely different map. I mean, it's not completely different. I mean, California lost a couple, you know, Texas gained a couple, Montana gained one. Because remember, the Electoral College numbers are the same as your senators plus your representatives. So Montana has four Electoral College votes. But what's interesting is the possibility now, because of those changes in the numbers, because of the changes in what states and how many Electoral College votes they have, it's actually possible for there to be a tie, a 269-269 type of thing. What's interesting, though, is that even if it's not a tie, it could be decided by three or four Electoral College votes. And because Democrats counted the illegal aliens in the 2020 census, and because they also had the Census Bureau having undercounts of red states and overcounts of blue states, if Kamala Harris wins this presidential election by three or four Electoral College votes, which is possible, that actually could be a direct result, and only because the Democrats insisted on counting illegal aliens in the census, and then the Census Bureau, even on top of that, did a whole bunch of undercounts and overcounts. And, oh, just coincidentally, the Census Bureau undercounted all the red states and overcounted the blue states, even according to Census Bureau data itself. Anyway, let's go to Grandpa Lou in Billings. Grandpa Lou, thanks so much for calling in.
Hey, good morning, my friend. And I just want to let everybody know, thanks, this is Red Friday. Remember all our servicemen and women that are deployed, and remember all our January 6th prisoners. And the reason I called this morning, I sent in an editorial piece to the Communist Billings Gazette almost a month ago, and they've yet to publish it. And it's about John Tester's record, and I'm going to read it real quick.
Let's hear it.
I'm a Marine Corps corporal, honorable discharge, once a Marine, always a Marine. I'm a grandfather, senior citizen, and business entrepreneur. My wife and I own a small business here in Billings. Senator Tester's record is dismal, yet he believes if you give him term number four, he will work on these problems. What has he done for his first three terms, 18 years in office? Tester has made the Veteran Affairs Department dysfunctional. Ask any veteran. Voted against fossil fuels, killed the XL pipeline, voted to restrict your freedoms during COVID, allowed boys' and girls' bathrooms, lockers, supported inflation-causing spending, voted with Biden-Harris 100% of the time. Never met a middle-class tax hike he did not vote for and like spending your tax money. As a farmer cannot tell the difference between a cow and a bull. If middle-class voters could follow the money trail, they would find far-left progressive friendly money to test it for all his votes against good, honest Montana citizens. I know some of the Republicans for testers, and I attended one of their organizational meetings. They're nothing but rhinos, Republicans in name only. Lobbyists or former politicians taking far-left progressive money. Remember, follow the money trail. Like Tester, these rhinos enrich themselves at your expense. They must be getting something to want to keep the status quo. Follow the money. Tim Shee is a dad, a decorated veteran special ops entrepreneur employing 200-plus other veterans and is a political outsider. Shee will keep boys out of girls' bathrooms, locker rooms, and vote against tax hikes. Look at prices 4 years ago and the price you pay for the same items today. Approximately 40% plus. Vote for your own self-interest. Vote Tim Shee. Thank you, Lewis A. Moffitt.
Well said, Grandpa Lou. Very well said. Maybe my only alteration to that would be referring to the rhinos as undocumented Democrats instead of rhinos.
Oh, that's a good one. Can I steal it?
You can. Actually, that comes from Scott in Billings. I wish I came up with that myself. That actually is from Scott in Billings. But really appreciate the call, Grandpa Lou. Well said. Very, very well said. Hey, Governor Gianforte put out something that really, really excited me. Governor Gianforte put out a call to all schools in Montana, to all school boards and trustees and superintendents, to prohibit cell phones in the classroom. And I can't believe that that's not already a thing in Montana. We've got kids in public schools sitting there in class scrolling on their smartphones. In fact, the Montana Free Press, the leftist rag that it is, of course, runs a story here about this. And of course, it's not about Governor Gianforte's great leadership. It's about the fact that the superintendents in Montana schools are very, very troubled by a sight that they repeatedly see, which is students in classrooms while the teacher's trying to teach and the students in their classroom on their cell phone scrolling. Billings Public School Superintendent Erwin Garcia grew increasingly troubled by a sight he repeatedly witnessed in classrooms here in Yellowstone County. And maybe this is different in other parts of the state. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. I don't know. But certainly, at least here in Billings, you've got students in the classrooms scrolling on their smartphones, not paying attention to the lessons unfolding before their very eyes. And they do eventually, in the rest of this article, mentioned the fact that Governor Gianforte is taking a big leadership role on trying to get these cell phones out of the class. I just can't believe that's even ever was allowed in the first place. Let's go to Tanner Smith in Lakeside. Tanner Smith, thanks so much for calling in.
Dave, how are you doing? World's best substitute, DJ. Doing great.
Thank you so much.
It was good seeing you in Bozeman.
Oh, that was so much fun.
That was fun at that rally. I just wanted to remind your listeners, Don Kay forgot to touch on it, but if you go to Trump Force 47, that's a place for the good Republicans when they have free time to sign up and actually have kind of it's bracketed 10, 25, 250. If you get a certain amount of people enrolled to either watch polls or, you know, so to watch this election integrity, once you hit a certain level, you'll win a trip down to Mar-a-Lago to visit Mr. Trump, and they're going to have a big party for all those platinum-level people, those folks that dedicated their time for the Republican cause. So just go to Trump Force 47.
And is that tied in with the Montana GOP as well then, or?
It is. Yeah, as a national committee, man, we want to push that stuff just to get people out to help. It's all part of the Protect the Vote, and then the Trump Force 47 is just something they're doing as kind of a spoof. So all the listeners out there, if you have some free time and you know 10, 50, 100 people, there's a certain number you get to. I forget it exactly. But once you hit that trigger point, then you'll get, you know, you get a trip down to Mar-a-Lago to visit Mr. Trump and have a nice little party for all the people, that help win.
That's fantastic. Really appreciate the info. Thank you so much, Tanner Smith, in Lakeside.
And I'll have to get after Don Kay for not remembering that.
Well, we covered a lot of topics with him. I thought he did a good job, but no, that's really important. The Trump Force 47, get signed up, folks. We do need people paying attention, and frankly, not just poll watching, but we got to be there with our cameras. We got to be recording videos all across the country. We got to make sure there's no, spare USB sticks getting put into voter tabulator machines that they shouldn't be. Got to be making sure that this stuff is all adding up and making sense. I had another story that's kind of tied into the fact that, unbelievable to me, but you've got students in the classroom all across Montana public schools using their phones during class, which I cannot believe that is allowed. But then, okay, so that's going on. And then here's another piece. Nearly one in three public school students are lagging behind in school. This is from the Daily Caller. Nearly a third. And then people wonder, hey, why do you want school choice? Why do you want to get rid of the Federal Department of Education? Well, maybe because a third of all of our students are behind their grade level. 32% of public school students in the U.S. were behind their grade levels as of June 2024. 78% of schools reported that students were missing too much class due to staying home for minor symptoms, while 70% turned to offering incentives to boost attendance. You start to wonder, well, wait, how is this possible? We're spending more and more money on our schools every year, and the outcomes are going down every year. What is going on here? Well, maybe it's because the kids are all in the classrooms looking at their smartphones. But that's got to end. Definitely got to end. You guys hear Kim Jong-un in North Korea executed 30 officials over floods in North Korea that killed 4,000 people. This is from the New York Post. New North Korean leader Kim Jong-un ordered 30 officials to be executed over their alleged failure to prevent flooding and landslides in the summer that resulted in the death of some 4,000 people. So there you go. The new axis of evil: Iran, North Korea, China, and Russia. And never forget, Tehran John Tester supported the horrible Iran quote-unquote nuclear deal. It was never an actual deal. That resulted in Iran getting the billions of dollars it needed to fund the Hamas Hezbollah wing of the Iranian government. Really, really disturbing stuff from Tehran John.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Agricultural economic researchers have asked consumers if they believe politicians can lower food prices. Specifically, the agriculture survey asked which political party, if any, those queried thought could help to reduce food prices in grocery stores. Maria Kalzadanakis is an assistant professor of agricultural and consumer economics at the University of Illinois, who conducted the research.
In August, we asked about this, about whether they thought politicians could lower food prices. So specifically, we looked at who they thought could lower food prices: Republicans, Democrats, whether it would require bipartisan support, or whether they didn't believe that politicians had the power to lower food prices.
Agricultural economists found that nearly 75% of self-identified Republicans thought only Republicans could lower food prices, and slightly less, but about 61% of Democrats thought that only Democrats could lower food prices. Independent or other participants, so people who don't identify with one of those major parties, were more pessimistic about the idea. 30% think politicians cannot lower food prices, and about 46% say if they can, it would require bipartisan support. The survey does not speak to the actual ability of politicians to lower food prices, but only to whether or not consumers believe in the promises they say on the campaign trail. I'm Lee Northland.
The market.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble with a K filling in for Aaron Flint. Completely open phones, folks. Call in now. We'll get you on the show right away. 406-294-0970. 406-294-0970. Whatever you want to talk about. Massive news nationally here this morning involving U.S. Senator Steve Daines. This is really incredible. Fox News reported just this morning, Senate Republicans have a feeling that the battle to succeed Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is just beginning and that more contenders will make last-minute bids for the role after the general election. One name that continues to be tossed around is that of Steve Daines, Republican Montana head of the NRSC, who has refused to rule out the possibility of running. But check this out. Check this out. A source with knowledge told Fox News that Trump has shared with allies that he wants to see Daines run for Senate leader. How amazing would that be to have Senator Daines, majority leader in the U.S. Senate, with Republicans in control of the House, the Senate, and the White House? That's what we need to save this country. And the only way we get that is if Tim Sheehy wins and then, you know, Steve Daines. People forget that Steve Daines is so close to Trump and is really a really good Trump supporter. Anyway, I saw that in Fox News this morning. It's like, wow, ain't that something? To have Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, promoting our own Senator Daines to be majority leader in the United States. That would be very, very cool. Here's another feel-good story. Here's a feel-good story. Volvo reverses its goal to make only EVs in 2030. I love these stories. The EV disaster just crashing and burning, as we all knew it would. The Biden-Harris tester regime trying to force all of us to drive EVs. This is also Fox. This is Fox Business. Volvo announced it's dropping its goal of making only EVs by 2030, saying it now expects it'll be offering some hybrids at that point. The Swedish company, which has a Chinese company as its largest shareholder, and other automakers have been slowing their demand for EVs. And so, yeah, that's a good story. Committee to Unleash Prosperity asked the question, are there any car companies left that haven't cut their EV production? And I think the answer to that is no. No, 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 no. They're all cutting the EV production because nobody wants to buy an EV. Let's go to Mike in Big Timber. Mike, thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking my call, David. Now that the vice president is hunkered down in Pittsburgh getting briefed for her debate, you know, it's going to take some rehearsal. Joe Biden is on the campaign trail, and I don't know if you heard what he had said. I think it was from Wisconsin that Trump's tax cuts caused a $2 trillion increase in the debt. And I thought to myself, really, sir, you're going to really pull that one out? And if you notice, David, there was none of that reverberation sound that the Democrats usually have in the, you know, when someone is speaking from their party. You know what I mean? Like, it's a thunderous thing coming from the clouds. He was very somber. And David, I don't think this guy really wants to be on the campaign trail for Harris after what they did to him. His voice is very kind of low-key.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
So I think he'd much rather be on the beach than campaigning.
Well, he'd rather be campaigning for president himself. I mean, he didn't want to drop out. He said only God himself could get him to get Joe Biden to drop out. And so, no, I mean, Joe Biden is, I'm assuming he's very, very angry with the whole thing and very unhappy about it. And he's forcing himself to go out there and continue to campaign for Kamala Harris so that he doesn't get even more vicious attacks from his own party and destroy his legacy or whatever else they've got left to destroy, of to the extent that he's got any legacy beyond massive inflation, open borders, you know, millions and millions and millions of criminal illegal aliens pouring into our country totally undetected, totally you know, unvetted, just and when they do get caught, they're just Biden just releasing them right into the country. That Wall Street Journal report recently about how this massive amount of 10 million immigrants, most of them illegal immigrants, into our country just in the last 3 years has fundamentally transformed our economy. Completely. We are a different country. The America today is not the America of 2020. The America of today is not the America of 2019. We are a fundamentally transformed country. Our labor force has been fundamentally transformed. The wages are going down because, and as the Wall Street Journal reported, folks, this isn't me saying this, the vast majority of the 10 million illegal aliens that have come into our country, they're Spanish speaking, they have no education, and they don't have any job skills. And that's who are pouring into the country undetected. Meanwhile, Democrats think the solution is, hey, just tax the rich, tax the rich. Well, the Committee to Unleash Prosperity has some pretty good information in a recent issue about, hey, can we just tax the rich? Well, let's think about this. The top 1% of income earners pay almost half of all federal income tax. The top 5% of income earners in the United States pay almost 2/3 of the income tax. The top 10% of income earners pay 75% of federal income tax. So that's not enough. You know, we need the top 1% paying more than 50% of all taxes. We need the top 5% paying more than 2/3 of income. We need the top 10% paying more than 75% of all federal income tax. No, it kind of sounds to me like we're kind of soaking the rich enough already. Let's go to Diane in Troy. Diane, thanks so much for calling.
Hi. I couldn't resist because you've got open lines. The squeaky wheel is at it again. Hunter Biden, who can't get any attention being good, is pleading guilty to all of his charges. And it's playing into a theory I came up with. I don't think anybody has said this before. Joe Biden says he's not going to pardon his son. Okay, fine. Only a president can do that. So I bet somewhere in the back door, they've come up with a deal that if Kamala will promise to pardon Hunter, that Joe Biden will get out of being the president and she will become the president before the election. Then after the election, or as the election happens, it'll be President Kamala against ex-President Trump, and they hope that she wins. So on January 20th, when she takes over, she can pardon Hunter.
I wouldn't put it past them for a second to do that. Wouldn't put it past them for a second. Thank you so much for the call, Diane. I want to go to Ken in Great Falls. Ken, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, I wanted to set you straight on electric vehicles. They're not cutting back. They're slowing down a little bit, but then they're going to massively increase. And let me tell you why. I just bought a Chevy Blazer electric. I bought it at your sponsor here, City Motors. So let me tell you about that car. Now, the battery, it's an 85-kilowatt-hour battery. In 2014... that size battery would have cost $100,000. I'm talking to a guy now. That's my granddaughter. And this battery that was built in 2024, it costs about $9,000. Now, just the next 18 months, the batteries have gone from $1,000 a kilowatt hour down to $100 a kilowatt hour now. And in 18 months, they're going to be down to $50 a kilowatt hour. The Chinese are selling cars, beautiful electrics like mine for like $20,000 now. The price is going to come down from $60,000 down to $30,000 here really quickly. Everybody's going crazy in the auto industry because that's the new thing. And if you're not going to buy an electric car, let me tell you why you buy one. Okay, I paid $46,000 for this electric Blazer. They have a gas version for $42,000. Now, you look at 10 years when you're looking at any machine. That's what engineering economics is. So with that gas-powered Blazer, you're going to put in another $20,000 worth of fuel in it for 150,000 miles.
Hey, Ken, we're up against the break. I'll put you on hold, Ken. Hang with us. We'll come right back. Did you...
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're talking to Ken in Great Falls. Ken, I'm glad that you called in and mentioned that you do have an EV, because I know that we've had a lot of callers over the months wondering when you were going to get an EV. Here's my question, though, for you, Ken, and I understand what you're saying. Hold on, Ken. Let me ask you a question first, Ken, because you're sitting there talking about how wonderful EVs are, and you bought an EV, and that's fine and dandy. That's not our issue. Our issue is when the government starts subsidizing them when people don't want them and starts forcing companies to purchase or to manufacture them and then forcing people to buy them. And so if you like EVs and you want to buy an EV, you know, great, go for it. Our issue is with the government forcing it. So I wonder, Ken, are you in favor of the government forcing EVs on us? Oh, I guess we lost him there. Actually, maybe, did we lose him? Yeah, we must have lost him. Dang it, Ken, I'm sorry, because I did want to hear your answer to that one. Maybe Travis will be able to get you back on here. In the meantime, we got phones lighting up here, and I want to get through as many calls as we can. Mike in Bozeman. Mike, thanks for calling.
I want to recommend, highly recommend, a new book that just came to my attention. I discovered it unintentionally and accidentally, called Domestic Enemies, The Founding Fathers Fight Against the Left, by an author named Daniel Greenfield. I thought I knew at almost 73 years old all I needed to know by 75 to 90% about the political left in this country and around the world. I discovered that I didn't know 40% of what needed to be known about the background, the history, the absolute evil, the riots, the human trafficking, the pestilence, the tyranny, the bullying that is the historical background of all of the political left as it evolved into the Democrat Party. And I cannot recommend this book highly enough. It was illuminating, and I exhort every Montana citizen to get their hands on this book and read it, because if you think you know Democrats and the left, boy, take a grip of this thing and learn what history has covered up and the media has covered up.
Great point. And I definitely would encourage people to check that out, especially because the whole party switch theory is one of the biggest hoaxes the Democrats push. The Democrat Party, you can actually trace consistent positions and values and principles from the Republican Party from 1860s and the Democrat Party from all the way up through today. There was never a party switch. The Democrat Party has been the party of slavery and Jim Crow and segregation, and is still today the same exact party. Don't believe the party switch. Democrats like to say the party switch to try to escape the absolutely disgusting, vile history of the Democrat Party. Looks like we got Ken back on the line. Ken, I don't know if you heard my question. I was just kind of wondering if you're in favor of the government forcing it.
We're not forcing it. We're making it happen. We have subsidized oil about $20 billion a year for the last 50 years because we needed oil. And now we need electric vehicles. But let me tell you why. Okay, for those two Blazers, I was telling you, my electric and the gas. Over 10 years, that gas one will cost you $65,000. This electric one will cost you maybe a little under $50,000. So you're going to save a significant amount of money by buying the electric. And they go forever, and they drive wonderful. It's incredible technology. So this idea, and they're going to take off, and either the Chinese are going to make them or the Americans are going to make them. I would suggest that we make them. It'll put many, many thousands of people to work. You know, it's the way to go. With solar panels, like I said, the cost of the batteries has plummeted. So they're going to take off now.
All right.
And
well,
we
we'll
need to get behind it. Either we do it or the Chinese do it. I would suggest we do it.
Time will tell. Time will tell. And again, Ken, I don't have a problem if EVs take off. Of course, folks, just to be clear, I don't want this show to be putting out disinformation. So fact check on Ken. The government is forcing this stuff. This is all coming from an iron-fisted, centralized, authoritarian, Democrat government that's forcing these junk EVs on people, and we don't want them. And that's disinformation and misinformation to try to say that this is not being forced on us. The only reason we have so many EVs is because of government force, authoritarian, centralized government. So I don't want to let that piece of misinformation slip out here without getting corrected. Let's go to Matt in Billings. Matt, thanks for calling.
I guess just a little bit more information towards what Ken was talking about. And the big things that I see, and it's you mentioned Volvo earlier talking about it. Volvo was towards the beginning push when they were starting to subsidize the EVs. They made a vehicle that was internal combustion or just full EV, and they did the math for you, and it was 7 years. Now, all vehicles require maintenance. We all know this, but it's 7 years if you to buy a full EV versus internal combustion just for the break-even point. Now, most people don't that buy new cars. They're probably turning them in every 3 years, every 4 years. So when you look at that, that doesn't really seem like it's going to be green as they suspect or they're trying to push. So...
Well said, Matt. And there's a lot of other information out there about how terrible these things are for the environment and how the batteries end up just oozing just toxic waste into the earth when they're done. And of course, we're destroying the environment by mining in China and other in Africa and destroying the place by mining for all the materials for it. Hey, folks, we'll see you guys Monday. Thanks for tuning in.